Hi guys, welcome to another episode of Cuentos with Hannah, brought to you by Podcast Network Asia. Today, I am with the beautiful, super talented, and super duper lovely Moira De La Torre. Oh my gosh, come on everyone, give us palakpakan over there. Ate Moy, thank you so much for coming into the podcast.
Thank you. It's really an honor.
Like, I'm so happy. And she came to the house. I was like, are you sure you want to travel?
Beautiful house.
Today's topic is going to be something I think that a lot of people are experiencing in this pandemic. How to love yourself, how to look after yourself, and how to accept all of the parts of yourself. The beautiful things, the flawed things, and everything in between. But do you want to greet the viewers of Cuentos with Hannah? You could just say hi.
Hi. Hi, guys.
We're going to open up little by little. It's going to be like a slow process. Yeah, no, that's so fine. Even Chloe was like that. I was like, Chloe, like, this is so funny. We were having a super long conversation before the podcast. I press record and she goes,
yo. Hi. That's one of the things we have in common.
I know. But it's fine. I mean, not everybody is like me, you know, it's just like,
which is okay, a great thing to follow suit of.
Yeah.
Is that right?
I don't know. Maybe. I mean, she should know. She's the writer. You have the... I'll trust you on that. I will trust you on that. But actually, what I was telling Ate Moy is, like, beforehand, like, before this, we actually didn't meet each other a lot of times. Like, but I feel like I already know
it
you.
It never felt like that.
Yeah.
It never felt like that.
Diba?
Like, I felt like... I kind of watched you grow up in a sense.
Yeah.
I feel like I was always there and you were always in my life.
Exactly. But then let's just pretend I was.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've known each other ever since childhood.
Yeah.
Just pretend. Okay, so for those who don't know you, Ate Moy, what are the things that you are busy with nowadays? You know, what's taking up most of your time?
Well, I'm really learning how to be a wife.
Yes.
How to be a homemaker, a pet mom, and I am working on my next album, just my content, really taking care of it, because for me, I'm like, before I'm a performer or a singer, I'm first a songwriter and a storyteller, so it really matters to me what message I convey in everything that I put out. So for me, it really requires a lot of strategy, a lot of like behind the scenes moments, because I want to make sure that it's not just, you know, for entertainment, but to bring
expression.
To express that message of gratitude, that to express that message of hope that I want people, my listeners, to hear. So now we're in that season again where before the album comes out, we're still, you know, slowly lining up everything that we're about to share with everybody.
So. Wow, that is so nice. The planning process is so, like, you know, it looks underwhelming, it feels underwhelming, but it makes the highs so much higher, right?
And it's so exciting also. It's the stories that back up what you say on stage.
Yes.
You know, but without the deep foundation, you won't be able to say anything of substance the moment you get on stage.
That's so true. And that's so important, because when I signed with my record label, I told them, I'd appreciate it if I write all my songs, because I'd really have a hard time, like you said, performing something that I don't really believe in.
Mm.
And you can tell, You can tell.
But there are artists that do it so well.
Oh, yeah.
Are made to do it.
Parang, it's like acting, you know?
Yeah.
This is a character, this is a role I'm gonna play.
Yeah.
Diba? Like, it's really well done. But as for me, I have a hard time doing that because I'm not an actress.
Same.
So I'd rather it has a hugot, like, close to my heart.
Yeah.
I mean, we know that from Ate Moy. Even if we don't have a hugot close to our heart, when we listen to that song that she makes, parang meron ka ng ganyan eh. She's like, here, let me just give you a little... Oh, my gosh. But, talking about, you know, your songs and just, like, opening up, I think, like, even if you don't, like, say a word, like, you can hear it in your voice, the vulnerability, you know, that's coming out of your songs. And, like, it's so genuine, which is also, like, another reason why I was like, okay, like, I would love to do a podcast with you, because, I mean, it's hard to be so vulnerable, like, to the rest of the world with, you know, like, what you're going through and... Yeah. I feel like our passions are the vehicle that we're like, okay, maybe I'm not comfortable this way, or I'm not comfortable this way, but through my songwriting, my storytelling, I'll let you know a lot of things.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, I won't specify, but oh my gosh.
I won't specify who broke my heart, but I'm going to put it in the song.
Especially when you're like, and they'll listen to it, and they'll be like, oh, that's not me. So yeah, talking about vulnerability, right? We are going to have our Quenta request listened to at the moment. So it's about, yes, loving yourself and looking after yourself. And I think those themes are very much seen in the songs that you make, especially in your last album. Mm-hmm. So let's listen to today's Quenta request. Okay.
Hi, Hannah. I'm Ed from the Philippines. Today, can we make Quenta about loving yourself and appreciating yourself more? Because sometimes, because despite having all the good qualities that we have personally, we all know our flaws, we all know our bad sides, and that and all those bad sides makes us feel like, makes us feel less of ourselves, and makes us feel like that is who we are, and makes us not love ourselves to the level of how much we should love ourselves. And in line with that, can we also make Quenta about improving ourselves, self-development, and being the better version of ourselves?
Thank you so much to Ed for sending in that question. I felt like this question was so like applicable to my life, and I think to yours as well. Like, mm-hmm. you've been so vocal about what you're going through, you know, with your PCOS. Mm-hmm. And me, I only ever started talking about like my eczema, for example, like my skin asthma, but I've gone through it ever since I was 4 years old. I had it.
Oh my god.
But I never ever talked about it. And I think it came from the idea that if I don't talk about it, it's not real, you know.
Yeah.
But when I started talking about it and I started realizing other people were going through it as well, I learned how to like even love the weird parts. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like maybe you can share with us like what sparked like the realization for you that like, oh my gosh, I have to look after myself now, or I have to take better care of myself.
Honestly, like what we were talking about before we started,
yeah,
it never really occurred to us that we weren't taking care of ourselves the way we should have been. And it didn't really sink in with me that I had to take care of myself until I started waking up to my husband. That's when it sank in. So it's really great for you to be understanding this now, even before you get married. But with me, it didn't really occur to me until I realized another dream, and that dream is to grow old with my husband.
Wow.
And to give my kids a healthy mom, and to be able to make sure that they live their best lives because they wouldn't have to worry about the mom who's healthy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And also wanting to be fully present. Because I realized with my polycystic ovaries, like, there's little awareness for it, especially here in our country. Like, 25% of women have it. So, wow. That's a lot. Yeah. And when I found out about it, and there, actually, I found, like, so many symptoms first. Like, there's brain fog, there's psoriasis, there's depression, there's anxiety, there's insomnia. Like, so much that polycystic ovaries affect your body to be like
mm-hmm.
it's a hormonal thing.
Yeah.
So
and your hormones dictate everything.
It dictates everything. So there are times that when I'm not eating well, I get brain fog. Like, so there was one time I forgot my own dog's name, but I knew his name, but I just couldn't say it.
Wow.
And then it was just so frustrating that it gave me so much anxiety, like, what is happening? And I just couldn't remember. And then before the pandemic, I couldn't write. And this was coming from, you know, having been able to write Malaya in 10 minutes or Saglit in 15 minutes. Like, so many songs that I got to write because my brain was good, my brain was healthy, and I was just writing down what I felt in like a really short amount of time. And then coming from there and then getting to not
being able to write anything at all. And that really affected me because that was my outlet. Songwriting has always been my outlet. So to not be able to write that way meant so much storage and so much baggage that I couldn't release.
Yeah.
And so I started seeing my doctors. I said something was not good. And this was right before my wedding. And I found out I had polycystic ovaries. And so ever since, I've been trying to like change my diet, finding what's good for me, what's not. Because also you get information overload. And you just don't know what to believe.
You don't know what to believe.
Which one is right?
It's scary.
Then now long, I'm starting to see that if you have polycystic ovaries, it's still not, there's still not much research for it. So you really still have to just listen to your body and listen to your doctor.
Yeah. And trust.
And it's trust. So it's so hard. Yeah. But what really drove me to get to a doctor even and not to take things lightly is my husband and wanting to have a quality life with him and knowing that, you know, I mean, it's inevitable for all of us to get sick at one point.
Yeah.
To, you know, it's inevitable for us to fall off the wagon every once in a while. But if I do get sick in the future, I'd want to be able to tell myself that I did my best.
You did whatever you could.
Yeah. If my husband loses a wife in the future,
yeah,
I'd like to be able to say that I did my best to be able to be next to you.
Yeah.
And that's part of, you know, the commitment that you gave for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer. And I didn't want to take that promise lightly. And I wanted to be able to make sure that, you know, I get to be fully present, to be fully joyful when he's going through something, to be fully, you know, comforting when he's going through something. You know, you can't do that when your focus is still here.
Yes. And that's so, that's like what I recognized also with myself is like, sometimes you're going to have to do it for other people if you can't really like do it for yourself. Cause which is really sad. Like for me, it's like, wow, I actually love like other people more than I do love myself.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, I'll do this for you na lang because hindi ko kaya for myself. So I think sometimes we think that people don't go through struggles, that it's just us, you know, because like, yeah, all our highlight reels are on Instagram and online and stuff. But as I continue to talk about like, you know, this is what I'm going through and stuff, everybody else that I talk to also has something they're going through that they just don't really talk about.
Yeah.
And so I think it was such a shift for you. When you go through something by yourself and then suddenly you're living with another person, they can see the moments that you never, like you never showed anyone else.
Yeah.
And you're giving them the opportunity to give their input, you know, to kind of tell you what they see and stuff. Yeah. And it's so wild for sure.
Yeah. I was talking to someone about this also. And she said, yeah, but I want you to be healthy for you.
Yeah.
Which I totally get. Like, that's my goal, self-esteem is very low.
Yeah.
And my self-worth, I'm still working on. I've come to realize that I am happiest when the people that I love are happy. And that's not the trait that you have to, like, change.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you should be happy because you're happy, not because, you know, it shouldn't be dependent on other people's happiness. But at the same time, like, I think that's also a good trait to have, you know?
Like, for example, like, in the Bible, it says to love others and love God. Like, doesn't say to love yourself.
Yeah.
But in order to love others and love God, you have to come to an understanding that you also have to love yourself first. Yeah. And so I don't think that it is a negative thing to want to do things for other people. But I think that just becomes the avenue in which you tend to, oh my God, I can love myself too. Yeah. Because when the people around you can like mirror that, you know, or can say, hey, like, you've been looking after yourself, you're like, oh yeah, I have been, you know? So I don't think like that's a wrong thing. And I think also like, it's so important to have people in your life when you are going through whatever like struggle it is.
Yeah. I think it's really important also to And it also depends a lot on the people that you're actually giving love to or showing love to. Like with Jason, it's the more I love him, the more I feel loved, because the more I love him, the more I want to show care for myself, because I see how much he loves me. Yeah. And I see how much he beats himself up when I'm not okay. Yeah. And I see how much he feels sad when we come back from the doctor and it's not such a good news. And so, like, you know, it's really a give and take kind of situation. But you also have to be wise who you're doing it for.
Yeah. Obviously, I don't have a boyfriend, so I don't super relate. But I can apply that for example, with my relationship with God.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that God can love me unconditionally and without hesitation, I'm like, I want to see what you see.
Right.
You know, like, but sometimes you have to experience it first to want to, like, make it a true thing for yourself.
Yeah.
So that's so nice how, like, so I'm sure he played such a big role, I guess, in you wanting to be better. Mm-hmm. And I think it's, like, it's perfectly, like, symbiotic, right? It's, like, also, he's also learning, because, like, you guys are both keto together.
He's on the bike right now. A bike ride
right now with my brother.
With your brother.
It's so fun to go on a journey with other people. Mm-hmm. Like, because, for example, when I started changing my diet, if I was doing it with someone, would have been so much easier. Because they're like, don't get that or whatever, you know. But it's not like just one way. It's like, okay, and you don't get it as well. It's like back and forth.
If you fail, kasi you ordered this.
Yeah, that's true.
You get someone but you to
can
blame. Laugh,
or you can both be like, sige na nga, cheat day.
Yeah.
So it's nice. So have you seen, like when do you think this journey started? Was when you got married?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, have you seen, like, progress there? What has changed? Is there anything that you feel is different?
Yeah, definitely. I think one of the things also, like you mentioned, your relationship with God, I realized that we're here because we have a calling.
Yeah.
And it's so hard to fulfill your calling and to live your calling when your focus is still on yourself. So, I love that Jason keeps leading me back to God and keeps reminding me that, you know, we're here because there's a bigger picture than we see. We can't see it yet, but we're all painting one part of a big masterpiece. Sometimes, because it feels selfish. Self-care feels selfish. It feels like we don't really need to be putting that much effort on ourselves. One of the factors also as to why we feel like self-care could be selfish is because our self-worth is not there. You know, you put attention on what you value.
Yes.
And sometimes we don't value ourselves enough to give us the attention that we need.
That's so true.
And so that's something that I've been learning recently in the last few years, while I deal with my PCOS, while I deal with my depression and my anxiety and my psoriasis, it's just, there's so much.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's almost nakakahiya to share it, because, like, oh, dami naman problema niyan.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we've been on the other end of the spectrum where we know exactly what it feels like to have to go through all of this and not have anyone to relate with.
Yeah.
Or not have anyone to journey with. Like you said, it's so much easier to go through a diet when you're doing it with somebody. And it's the same thing with going through depression and beating depression because you know somebody else beat it. Because you know somebody else was guided by God through it.
Yeah.
You know, but if you don't share it, who knows? And me, I share it because there could be another Moira trying to figure things out on her own in the dark and needs my validation.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And
the call is important.
The call is very important.
The purpose. Because, like, God gave us talents and gifts and another day to wake up. And so I think I have a responsibility with what I've been given.
Yeah.
And if God has given me these dreams and this big calling, who am I to think that I can do it without sleep?
Yes.
Who do I think I am to be able to do it without, like, proper nutrition and, like, a body that's healthy?
Yeah.
Because if God says, Hannah, I want you to do this, and I'm like, sorry, I'm physically incapable.
Right.
I never want to, you know, I never want to be unable to do something that God asks me to do because I didn't take care of myself. So, yes, it can feel like selfish. I think there is a balance, mm-hmm. you know, because as you mentioned, sometimes you can be too inward focused that you mm-hmm. can't even look elsewhere,
yeah.
which is that's a real place, mm-hmm. you know, and I found myself in that place a lot. You know, when you get into that self-help spiral, you think you can figure it all out. You know, you think, oh, I know the exact equation to get to the place where I want to be and stuff. Yeah. But I've realized that it's a mixture of both, like, yes, trusting people, mm-hmm. like doctors, but also doing the work, mm-hmm. and at the same time knowing what the purpose is behind it. Because if you're just doing it for the sake of it, like, I don't think you'd be able to get to the end, the finish line. There has to be like a purpose. And for me, it's really to be like a good and faithful servant of the things that God has given me. And it's super hard because when you ask God for healing, for me, because I do, like, I have my eczema, right? I ask God for healing. My understanding of healing is very different from His.
Right.
Na parang in my head, which is what I realized a few months ago, is my idea of healing is not having to wear like things that cover my scars, or my idea of healing is being 100% confident with my body, or parang that was my idea of healing. But God's idea of healing for me, which I'm still learning and mm-hmm. discovering, is to cleanse my mind of the negativity, the bad body image that I had.
Yeah,
you know, like to step backwards, to learn how to trust people who, you know, like, are like doctors and stuff. I'm so like, I researched it, I know what to do. So, you know, but God's really like, you have to trust that I know better than you.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to be like, sige na nga. It's
so hard. And also, Hannah, that place where you're in, where you're still learning how to like embrace that kind of healing, that definition of healing, puts you in such a great place for people to see that, you know, you're not too far up for them to be able to catch up.
Yeah.
Like, that place that you're talking about, I'm very familiar with that place. I'm still in that place in a lot of areas in my life. And I feel like that's what makes me relatable as a singer, as a storyteller, because they know I'm still there.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm like, oh, ganito kasi yan nung bata ako. You know, it's not like that. Like, it's not like a past memory. It's like an occurring thing. It's like an occurring thing that, hey, she's going through eczema,
mm-hmm.
but why does she look so strong?
Yeah.
There must be someone holding her. Yeah. I want that.
Yeah.
You know, and that's such a great place because, like, you're here asking God for a different definition of healing. He gives you a different definition. But through the journey and through the process of sharing this journey that you have with other people, you're bringing so much healing to so many people.
Sure.
So there's another definition of healing here. You know what I mean? Like, it's so different, but it's all part of that bigger, grander picture.
Yes, which we'll probably never see.
Yeah.
You know, until we're in heaven looking down. Ah, gets. That's yen why. Pala. Pala. But sometimes it's annoying. You know, there have been times where I'm like, you know, actually, Atima, I've never told this in my podcast or my channel, but I also was diagnosed with depression last week. Yeah. But it's like real.
Yeah.
Like, it was so, like, I didn't get it when people would talk about it before. I was like, why can't you just get out of it? Like, just do something that makes you happy.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's not like that because it's not circumstantial.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's just random.
Mm-hmm.
Diba? And it was like, I was talking to my mentor about it. And, like, she's so good at making things seem okay.
Yeah.
She goes, you know, I'm glad you're going through something like this. I was like, why? Why are you glad? She goes, because now you're reachable. Maybe you'll find a husband now.
Oh, gosh.
Because they don't know. Because you're not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're flawed. Because you're human.
Yeah.
And you're talking about it. And you're sharing it. And it's like, I hate how I have to go through this just to figure that out. But it's like, yeah, it's like what doesn't kill you really makes you stronger.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, I'm not gonna let this thing be the end of me.
Right.
You know, it's like, I know, I am so certain that, like, the bigger the mountain, like, the bigger the wall, the bigger the hindrance, like, means the bigger the calling.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the bigger the dream that God mm-hmm. has for me at the end of it. So it's like, it better be one hell of a dream. Because it's like what you said, sometimes you have to say, maybe right now, you know, I have to go through this on behalf of somebody else
mm-hmm.
for you to see. You know, what if this was, like, for example, like, the story of Job. You guys can look it up in the Bible or something. He had no reason to go through the worst time of his life.
Yeah.
There was no reason.
Yeah.
But maybe his story was for us to read the Bible and to say, okay, maybe there doesn't have to be a reason,
mm-hmm.
but God is still sovereign.
Yeah.
And everything is for good, even if I can't see it. Mm-hmm. Like, that was the role of Job. And he had to go through all of those super sad stuff.
Oh, thanks for sharing that with me and everyone. That's such a brave thing, Han. And I know that depression is such a confusing thing. It's like a very dark and uncomfortable hole.
You don't even want it. You don't want someone to tell you that you have it. It's like, yeah, a scary word.
It's such a scary
label.
Word. Yeah, but it's nothing God can't heal. And, you know, one of my turning points, actually, I've never shared this either. This is around, this was 2019, before my concert in Araneta. I did not feel qualified to be able to do a concert in Araneta at all. Did not feel qualified. Did not know how that was going to happen, how that was going to turn out. And then I was reading my journal just to, like, you know, be able to, like, oh, maybe if I can find stories here from the past that I could tell people about in my concert, just for spiels, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's this, I came across the entry from where I wrote Malaya. I wrote Malaya December 28, 2015. And the day before I wrote Malaya, I tried to take my own life. And it was just not a good place to be. And it was very dark for me. And I know that a lot of people go through depression differently. They go through anxiety differently. Our triggers are all different. But one thing that I do know is that a lot of the people who take their own lives or try to take their own lives have one thing in common, and it's to make everything stop. Because you're just tired, you can't function. It's like, it's that. And I was trying to, and then the next day I tried to write my New Year's resolutions, because I'm like, I'm still alive, I'm still here.
Yeah.
Okay, what am I gonna do? And I couldn't write anything. And then I realized that there were so much baggages that I was holding on to, that God couldn't give me new dreams. And that's where the Malaya album was birthed. For new leaves to be able to grow, old leaves must fall.
Yes.
That's where I got the idea of the whole fall. Mm. And Malaya, the song, was actually a note to self, saying, maybe if I stick around a little longer, I'll find myself free. Maybe if I stick around a little longer, I will see the sun rise again. That's what Malaya meant. 4 years later, somebody messaged me and said, Ate, I was about to take my own life, but then I listened to Malaya and felt like God was telling me I was free. And it just really, like, it gave me so much hope, and at the same time, that strength, because that strength to keep going, because what I had written in a place where I tried to take my own life saved somebody from taking their own life.
Yeah, maybe it was all for them.
Yeah. So imagine, depression is such a pangit na siya na word. It's not such a great word to hear. But also, I feel like at this point, while we wait for healing, because I believe healing is on its way.
Oh, 100%.
But while we wait for healing, we can choose to see depression as a place where we can find more empathy, a place where we can find more compassion, a place where we can find the stories to tell to people so that they can start hoping again. So this doesn't have to be a bad place.
Yeah.
You know, it could be a scary place, but it doesn't have to be a bad place. It could actually be a source of like new stories for you, you know?
Exactly. And I think the weight of certain words, like the weight of that word, you know, like was like, parang it felt like, it just felt like a weight. I don't even know how to explain it, but it was like, whoa. I was like, where did that come from? Like me? Like, everyone knows me. That's not me, you know? But I mean, exactly what Ed said, you know, sometimes we allow these labels to define who we are, to be the definition of who we are. And a lot of the times we allow like our illnesses or like our conditions to be the determinant of who we are, but it's so not.
Yeah.
It's so separate. And that's really what I'm trying to continue to believe.
Mm-hmm.
This is not what makes me me.
Yeah.
You know, this is an add-on, just a passing experience to the person that Hannah is. It's not Hannah, you know, but it can feel so close to just being, wow, like the past me is gone. You know, like the one who was happy or the one who was like joyful and stuff. And I'm just like, no, but exactly what you said, like healing is on the way.
Yeah.
And God allows us to go through these seasons because, like, you know, the lows make the highs so much better, right? It's like, it's only gonna mean that there is an even better, like, uphill coming. And whatever that is for you and I, gosh. Can you imagine? Yeah. We talk again in the next 2 years and we're like, remember?
Remember? So imagine we're driving through EDSA. And let's say, for example, what car do you want to be?
What car?
What kind of car do you want to be?
A G-Wagon.
A G-Wagon. You're driving on EDSA on a G-Wagon. If you're driving on EDSA on a G-Wagon, are you immediately EDSA?
Wow.
You're not. You're still a G-Wagon and you're just passing through EDSA. You know? So if you're a daughter of God, you're still a daughter of God. You're just passing through a season of depression. But it's just a road. It'll pass. It's just a season. It'll pass.
I love that. That's so encouraging. I love that. At haba lang ng EDSA eh.
EDSA. Pag traffic lang. But at 2 in the morning, it's not that bad.
It's so true. I love that. You're just passing through it. Passing through. To get to a better place.
Yeah.
Diba? So, Ate Moy, so what does that practically look like for you then? Like, when you said, okay, I need to make things better. I need to change. I need to, you know, get healthy for my future family. Like, what does that practically look like for you?
Looks like a lot of things in my end. But I'm starting to exercise. But the thing with exercise with me is, Jason just got me a stationary bike also. Mm-hmm. Like, same exact one.
Yeah.
But I can't have high-intensity workout because, especially if I'm going to try to get a baby in the future.
Yeah, of course.
I shouldn't. People with PCOS shouldn't do high-intensity workouts. Mm. That's something that I've learned. Despite the many things that contradict on the internet, that's one thing that they all agree upon.
Wow.
So
that's how you know.
Yeah. So I'm trying to like explore which activities I can do. And my metabolism is very slow.
Mm.
So that's, I'm learning how to do my diet. I'm transitioning as well, like you. And getting myself a system. Our line of work doesn't really, you know, we don't have that. Oh, we don't have like a 9-to-5
I thrive thing. When I have systems, but it's exactly so hard to maintain.
It's so hard to get back to it when you lose when you get it.
Because when you are building like habits, if you fail at building habits, you're building other habits.
Yeah, exactly. Right? So I'm starting small, like
Yeah.
Like last year when we were in the States, I started with drinking a glass of water in the morning to celebrate the small wins. And then from drinking a glass of water in the morning, I started making my own bed. And then little things like small, I always try to remind myself, little progress, big progress.
That's the way to go. Progress. Yeah. Because the little progress makes up, like if you look at it from afar, it's a lot. It's big progress, you know? But that's my problem is I go, okay, we're gonna go all in. Yeah. So it's like,
and then, okay, and I'm gonna rest now.
And then burnout.
Burnout.
Yeah, literally burnout for me. So like, that's exactly, you're right. Like I'm learning now to be like, okay, I have to start with the basics, which is what I see is like exercise, diet, and sleep.
Yes.
Right? And then of course, that's for the body, but then there's different for the mind and for the spirit. So the spirit is like, you know, being plugged in with the church, devotions, reading, praying and stuff. And then the mind is like, for me, now it's therapy, you know, and it's like writing my thoughts down and talking to people. But for the body specifically, I think we try to do so many things.
So many things.
Like, super exercise and like do this and do that. But you have to start with the basics, diba? Like, I even, like, Chloe told me to get a sleep tracker. I literally got it. So it tracks my sleep.
Chloe talaga, no?
She is such
She got me to a carnivore diet for 3 days.
She's not just gonna say something if she's not gonna back it up with evidence.
And she's not gonna do something unless she's researched about it also.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm like, I resonate with her in that sense where it's like, the words don't come empty. So when she told me to get the sleep tracker, which I have now, I'll show you what it looks like on my phone. Grabe. Because even if you're in bed for like say 7 hours, you only have like 5 hours of sleep because you take the time to like wind down and then like doze off. So you'd think, oh, I had 7 hours of sleep. No, you only had like four and a half or something.
I wanna get one now.
Yeah, it's so fun.
You know, Chloe is another person who, you know, mental health advocate.
Yes.
But you know, I saw her again, like I've been like seeing her since 2016 because I used to sing for Julia's birthday parties.
Yeah.
And then that's where I met Chloe, and then we were in Cornerstone for a bit. And then I've met her before and she's really funny.
She's hilarious.
She's hilarious. I thought she wasn't, you know, lively, but then she actually was. And then when I saw her again last month, she was the most alive and happy that I've ever seen her.
She's in a new place.
A new place. And that just really encourages me, you know, to see where she is now, to see a glimpse of where she was before, and to see the person that she's become. That brings so much hope just by her breathing, just by her living. Yeah. That brings so much hope. How much more when you talk about it, when you say the stories that you used to have and then where you are now. It's so encouraging. So I just wanted to honor her.
Yeah, but that's so true. We love you, Cloud.
Love you, Cloud.
So much. But you know, the process is, that's I think my biggest frustration is it's not the same time frame for everyone. I just rather that you give me, okay, just tell me how it ends.
Right.
Just tell me how to get there and I'll get there.
Yeah.
But it's not the case. It's like, you'll only ever arrive to it when you've arrived to it.
Yeah.
And like, for example, there was this one, like my dad and I were going for a run, for example. And I have my typical runner out here in my village. I know where to go. I know how far it is. It's 3 kilometers. It takes me usually this time to get there. And then I track my run also. So I know how fast I am, the pace and whatever. Girl. My dad just goes, I track everything. It's kind of crazy. But anyway, so we were going for a run. He was like, just Hannah, it's going to be a fun run. I was like, great. Okay, I'll run with you. And so you're running. And he turned right where I usually turn left. And I was like, Dad, where are we going? And he was like, oh, we're just going to go around. Like, we'll just run. I was like, no, Dad, tell me where we're gonna go. Like, until where are we gonna go? Like, tell me how far and stuff. He's like, maybe we'll run for maybe around, I don't know, 30 minutes or so. So, okay, start running. I was like, how far, pa, Dad? You know, like, where are we gonna stop? Where are we gonna turn and stuff? And he goes, Hannah, chill. We're just going for a run, you know, enjoy it and stuff.
Yeah.
And then I started getting weak. And I was like, Dad, I can't finish now. Can we turn around? Like, I can't now. And when I was running back, I was like, oh my gosh, Dad, I just had a revelation. And he was like, what? I said, I could pala run this route. I just didn't know how far it was. And parang I needed how far the distance, the time and stuff. But my dad just wanted me to enjoy.
Yeah.
And I think it's the same thing with like what's happening right now, with my life in general and with God.
Mm-hmm.
I want the facts. I want it now. Tell me how to do it. But God's just like, enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know, go through it. Experience it. Yeah. You know?
Hiya, friendships. This is Editing Podcast Hannah coming at you with another podcast recommendation. First of all, before I recommend this podcast, I just want to let you know that this conversation with Moira was really doing a lot in my heart, even if it didn't really show it as much, or maybe it did show it. But I hope that you also got something out of it. Hopefully it reminds you that everything that we go through, you know, the difficult things and, you know, the easy things, the fun things, the highs, everybody goes through it. You are not different. You're not unlike everyone else. You are not an alien by any means if you have problems or struggles. If anything, you are just more human, just like all of us. So yeah, just don't shy away from it, you know, embrace the crazy parts of life. And I hope that you are encouraged. And as of right now, it is actually Holy Week, so I'm just wishing you a happy Easter. And I pray that you remember that, you know, Jesus loves you so much. And that is the reason why we celebrate him today, because he first loved us, and therefore we could love ourselves and love other people around us. Okay, so for today's podcast recommendation, join Anjali Dub as she shares her new journey of adulthood from life, business, and traveling to help us become the best version of ourselves, one podcast at a time, in her podcast, Life in Progress. So this podcast is brought to you in partnership with Podcast Network Asia, and it is available wherever you listen to your podcasts. So go check it out, give it a listen, and here is the rest of today's episode. Love you guys. Bye.
As of right now, you know, especially with our line of work and whatever, or even here right now, you know, I bet people are listening and they're like, you have depression, you have anxiety, don't show it. You know what I mean? So what do the down days look like? And what are the things that help you cope with them? Because everyone has different,
yeah,
diba?
We talked about what I do for my physical
well-being.
Like, I've been really learning to listen to my body, learning to love my body even in the process. Because, yeah, like, you know, I had this notion that I can't love myself until I'm in my goal,
yes,
weight.
It's so true.
Or my psoriasis is gone.
Yeah.
Because it's here.
Yeah.
Like, so many times on ASAP, I could just look at somebody there and they're all just showing skin.
Mm.
And I feel so insecure that, yeah, I can't show skin, yeah, because it's all,
yeah,
showing.
Yeah.
But now I'm in the season of learning to love myself even in the process, even in the in-between.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to love ourselves when we're not in the beginning or in the end.
Yeah.
It's so hard to love ourselves mid-process, where we're still trying to figure out, how am I going to get to the end? I'm there, and it's tough because there's a lot of things that work for other people that don't work for me. They have different results than mine.
Yeah.
And it's so easy to get frustrated with yourself. Yeah. Parang it's your fault.
There's something wrong with you because, yeah, it didn't work.
Yeah, but I'm learning not to do that. I'm learning not to keep blaming myself.
Yeah.
I'm learning that. And I'm learning to just take it one day at a time, you know, and make practical things like drink water, hydrate myself, yeah, a lot. Put lotion.
Yeah.
Like, just those little
just
things.
Just the idea that I'm doing everything I can,
yes,
to heal.
Yeah. And, yeah, listening to professional, advice, medical professionals. And then mentally, whenever I'm, you know, whenever the anxiety is coming. Because sometimes I know it's about to come when I'm about to get my period.
Mm.
Or,
oh my gosh, my PMS is horrible.
Yeah, same.
Super bad.
Same. So I usually give Jason a heads up in case I get to fight him. And then he'll
That's
be gracious
good
to me.
That's good, to heads up.
Yeah.
You know, I've learned also to be like, family, just letting all you know it's happening, because my mom and my sister and I are synced. So imagine.
I can imagine
just
that.
Just the household.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Oh, I have to prepare Jason for that. Give him a heads up and in case we get girls.
Of course.
But yeah, I give him a heads up and I just try to track. I'm not as regular as I want to be, but I have it every month. So I kind of get like, if I'm getting impatient, it's near.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's that and I get depression when I'm overworked, when I'm burnt out. Mm-hmm. My anxiety just like really weighs on me. When I get too social, uubos ako.
Yeah.
So usually that, so I'm learning how to translate. Is this depression, yes, or is this just my hormones just done?
Or is it just me tired?
Or it's just me tired.
Some,
yeah.
Some people just say, oh my God, I'm going through this and what that. Yeah, but did you sleep last night?
No.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Ah. Well,
yes.
Could just be
dehydration
that.
Can also.
Yeah.
You know.
Like so many other factors that we just like, we give so much credit to mm-hmm. those things. That
yeah. Exactly. So it's just knowing what to like pinpoint so that you know that, hey, I'm not getting this anxiety attack for no reason. It's just my body.
The awareness is so important.
Yeah, you have to be really aware for it. And then if none of those boxes are ticked and I just feel like that heaviness, then I know it's an anxiety attack.
Mm.
So I have to tick off, you know, a bunch of stuff first. And then... Yeah. Usually when I have my anxiety attack, I've been going to my neuroscientist and she's my therapy.
Yeah.
She's a lot like a psychiatrist, but with her, I love her so much because she names what I'm actually going through.
Yeah. It's so nice to have evidence.
Yes, evidence. And have you seen a neuroscientist?
No.
You should see
her. But do you know Dr. Caroline Leaf?
No.
No way.
No.
She is amazing. She's a neuroscientist.
Mm-hmm.
She has books about, but she's Christian.
I love
so
that.
So the way that she talks about it is, yes, depression is real. Yes, there's a chemical imbalance, but...
Yeah. My neuroscientist is Christian.
Yeah, it's a different
dynamic.
She's
my neighbor.
It's a different dynamic. So that's how I've experienced that kind of side before, but never face-to-face.
Yeah. I love her so much. She would teach me how to, like, okay... If you're reacting a 9, but the problem is a 2, then count to 3. Because usually our logic comes after
the feeling.
So you have to count and then breathe. And then she taught me also how to be more practical with my husband. Like, I love Jason because he asked me this before when I was opening up to him. And he was like, babe, wait, I just need to ask, do you need me to listen or do you need me to give you a solution? So it's not like I'm just, because there are times that I want you to give me the solution, but in days that I don't need you to
just
give
you
me the solution and I just need you to hug me, but you give me a solution, then you're gonna make me feel like I'm someone you have to fix.
Yes.
And that's not something that you want.
Communication though.
Yeah, communication. So those are the things that I do when I have a mental breakdown. I call my neuroscientist. I talk to my husband. Or I work on my bullet journal.
Yeah. Oh my God. I clean my room when I'm stressed.
I clean my room. My house is very clean after a depressive mode. I clean my friends' cabinets or I watch K-drama.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just...
And you have to give yourself those days sometimes. You know, today, I can't do anything and I'll choose not to. And it's fine.
Yeah.
Actually, that's the next question I wanted to ask. And you kind of mentioned it there.
Sorry, did I answer your question?
What was my question? I forgot.
Don't know yet.
I don't really mind. But
oh, no, you asked me what it looks like.
Yeah,
you
shared it. Yeah. And how to deal with it. You did. Mm. Yeah. You're better than me. You give yourself credit for. But oh yeah, actually, with my next question, yes, exactly. Like with our line of work, you know, we're so busy, or we can get so busy, especially me. I'm a workaholic, talaga. I love to work.
Me also.
It makes me happy, but it can also make us tired, overworked, stressed out. How do you carve time for yourself now that you've put, you know, more importance to that? Because I've never put so much effort into taking care of myself as compared to, like, you know, now and before. how do you carve out that time?
System.
Yeah.
It really has to. I really need a system to be able to take care of myself, because otherwise you're not gonna see me get out of my studio.
Wow. Boundaries, no?
Boundaries talaga. Maganda nga yung album ko, may sakit naman ako. You know? Yeah.
That's so real. That is so real. Because as creatives, you can just be like zoned in.
Yeah.
Diba? But you take a step back and you're like, oh my God, that was not worth it.
Yeah.
It was not worth it, you know? So that's really important to find that balance. My last question is, mm-hmm. say you have a treasure box or maybe like a box of letters. And I'm sure you're learning a lot of things now that you're kind of like, I wish I knew this when I was younger.
Yeah.
So knowing that you want to have a future family, mm-hmm. of course, mm-hmm. what would you want to give to them in that treasure box? Note to my future family.
I want to give them a healthy mom. That's what I want. I think that's, you know, healthy parents. Like I'm doing my best taking care of my husband, and I know he's doing his best taking care of me. But I also want to give them, you know, be able to say that they have a healthy mom because I took care of me. Because I took care of the womb before they even got to live in it. You know what I mean? Like, I want to be able to say that. And I also want to share with them the lessons that I've learned shifting from a child to a single person to a wife to a mom. I also want to make sure that they're okay in the in-betweens, that they don't punish themselves like I did in the in-betweens. Because a lot of us, you know, we're so afraid of failure. We're so afraid of, I think that's what triggers anxiety also. Yeah. I think that's one of
fear of what might happen.
Yes. Yeah. And I feel like, correct me if I'm wrong, but one of your triggers could be, you know, not knowing what happens outside of the system that you've created for yourself, and being, you know, in a pandemic and none of this was in your plan.
Oh yeah.
And I'm sure that weighed in on it.
Oh yeah.
And for me also, I have a hard time with appreciating myself and giving myself credit, because I feel like a failure a lot of times. And I don't know about you, but for me, I'm my worst critic.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't need bashers to make me feel sad.
you think that's going to affect me?
There's this song that we wrote, and actually we wrote it for bashers before and for people. But it was also kind of a note to self, and I wrote it in the States with Harv and Felicia, and it's called Selfish, but not selfish in like a selfish kind of way, but like a boundaries kind of way. Like, I'm gonna be selfish with my boundaries. And then I wrote, stop pretending I'm okay just to satisfy your hate. You can't fix yourself until you see me broken. And sometimes it's like, you know, sometimes we feel like we need to like push ourselves to the curb until we see ourselves broken before we do something about it.
Yes.
But we don't need to get to that
point. We don't need to make preventive measures.
Yeah. But that's how I kind of deal with myself when I feel like I failed, when I feel like, that's why I feel like my relationship with myself wasn't really good, because that's how I dealt with it. But my friend Jessie, she wrote in her one of her devotionals. Do you know her? She has this devotional online. It's called Our Secret Place Online. Oh. And she puts her devotionals there, and it's the best.
Wow.
And she said something. I want to read it because I wouldn't do justice if I just said it out of memory. The world will tell and teach you to avoid failure at all costs. You prepare so well so you don't experience it, because when you do, it's over. It's not true, though. Ask the one who died and rose again. Failure is never the end if you choose to get back up. God knows better. He sees failure as a father does, a natural part of the process, an inevitable, even important part of the journey. The greatest masters of every craft there is a master not because they made the least mistakes, but because they tried and failed more than the others. Today, I believe God is saying, I'm giving failure new names, and it's called practice and preparation.
Oh my God.
And then she said, really, that's what practice is. It's learning from failures. There's no way around it. If you want to win, or better yet, be the best, you have to know how to lose. In the end, you're measured not by how much you undertake or fail, but by what you finally accomplish. Sometimes by losing a few battles, you find a new way to win the war. I don't know what mistakes you've made this past week, these past years or decades, but God doesn't just want to set you free from fear. He wants to give you wings. He wants to give you freedom. He wants to give you confidence. He wants to make you fearless, knowing you have a powerful, unfailing Father who will back you up if we just keep getting up, knowing He never leaves us when we stumble. He rushes to our side and carries us through if we needed Him to. He is our unfair advantage, and oh, He is He for us. He believes in us more than we can ever know. He cheers for us like that crazy loud stage mom in the crowd, cheering when we make a goal, cheering when we don't. God's love never fails, so be fearless. Practice, prepare, try, begin, begin again, fall, rise, and fly.
Isn't that so nice?
Oh my gosh.
She's like a poet.
She's, oh, you have to meet her. She's annoying. She's that annoying best friend that I have, but she's the wisest person I know.
That is so good. Mm-hmm.
So that's something that I want to give my kids. I want to be able to not allow my fear to eat me up now and practice courage now so that I can teach my children how to be fearless.
To end that, my dad has this favorite thing that he uses when he has motivational speeches. He said one person asked, like, I don't remember who it was, but it's like, if there's one lesson that you could teach a kid, what would it be? Mm. And the person said it was to fail. Mm. Like, as a mom, she was like, why would I want to teach my kid how to fail?
Yeah.
And the person said, because it's going to happen to them.
Yeah.
Teach them how to lose.
Yeah.
Because when they know how to lose, then it won't be a surprise anymore.
Right.
Right? And it's just like, oh, part of the process.
Right.
So yeah, guys, that is the end of today's video. It happened again. We watched the sunset together, which is okay because we got a new camera and now we're still bright. But guys, thank you so much for watching today's video. Moira, thank you so much.
Thank you so much
for joining us. This is so great. I loved our chat. It's going to continue on for sure. But I hope that you guys got something out of it. Remember that self-love is not selfish. And I'll see you guys in my next podcast.
Bye.